Are you ready for the word of God this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, this morning I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. And it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Okay? Till he comes. Now, this is a scripture that we use for communion. And I want to share with you two things about what communion really is. Yeah, we take it very often, but we need to know the significance of it and why we do it every week and regularly. Okay? Now, the first thing is, communion reminds us of what Jesus has done on the cross for us and how he has restored our personal relationship with him. Before Jesus died, we have to go through the priest to go to God. But when Jesus died on the cross, and that's why we take communion, to remember that Jesus died for us and he restored our personal relationship with God, that we can come to him one-to-one. Okay, you don't have to go through another person. Secondly, communion reminds us that we must continue this personal relationship, because it says at the end of that verse, till he comes. Till Jesus comes again, we are supposed to continue this personal relationship. It has to be a daily thing. Daily, the Lord gave manna to the Israelites. So in the same way, God wants us to just have this relationship with him. It must be an ongoing, daily, walking, talking relationship. And we've been saying this again and again. Every preacher who comes up will always remind you about this, about our personal relationship with God. Because this is the most important thing in our life, in our Christian life. Okay? And I want to focus on the word which says, until he comes. So we are looking forward to the coming of the Lord. So my title this morning is, The Second Coming of the Lord. Okay? It's the second coming of the Lord. Now, before the first coming of Jesus, God called one person, just one person, to come and prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare for the coming of Jesus. And that, I'm sure you all know, is John the Baptist. Okay, John the Baptist was one person who was called by the Lord to come and prepare the way of the Lord. But you realize today that we are looking forward to the second coming of the Lord, and there's not one John the Baptist. We have so many John the Baptists. We are all supposed to be John the Baptist. We are, because we are living in this time when we are preparing for the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. And here we are, because we have been saved and we know what God has done in our lives. We are the John the Baptist today to actually prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now, what do we do in preparing for the coming of the Lord? We prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord, and we prepare others for the coming of the Lord. And so we see here something about John the Baptist in John chapter 10 and verse 41. John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. And it was already prophesied in the book of Isaiah, there's a voice in the wilderness crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. So in the same way, today, we should be crying out to the people out there in the wilderness and wherever they are, prepare the way of the Lord, because Jesus is coming again. So this is what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be the John the Baptist of now. Okay, now John chapter 10 and verse 41 says something about John. So dry. Okay, then many came to him and said, John performed no signs, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. Now, you see, John had just one purpose. He had one purpose. He had only one purpose, and that is to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus. And what did he do? He was actually turning people's heart back to God and causing them to repent for the sins that they have done, and then to be baptized. This was his only one purpose, turning the hearts of people back to God and to be baptized. He didn't do any signs and wonders, because that was not what he was called to do. Because he said, the one that's coming after me is the one who is greater. And so he left the part that Jesus had to do. He left the signs and wonders to Jesus himself. Okay? And so here we see that as we look forward to the second coming of the Lord, this is what we are all supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be the John the Baptist. We are supposed to be ready in our hearts every day as we go out. And there must be a burden and a passion in our hearts. A passion in our hearts for those who are lost. Because if the Lord comes, they're going to be left behind. And if they do not know the Lord and they're called home, they're going to go to the wrong place. And so there must be this passion. No, I'm not passionate about winning souls, and I'm not passionate about seeing the body of Christ revived because I'm a pastor. Even if I'm an ordinary church member, the moment the day I came to know the Lord, I know this is my purpose. And I know it is my responsibility in one way or another to tell others about what Jesus has done for them and how they can go to the right place at the right time. Or if Jesus comes back, how they can be raptured, that they will not be left behind. So this is a passion that we must all have. A passion for God and the passion for the people of God. The people that God has created. Okay? Now, I want you to know that there's something different now. Even though we are the John the Baptist of this season and this time, there's something different about our call as John the Baptist. Because in John the Baptist's time, like I said, he only fulfilled one purpose, and that's to turn the people back to God and then be baptized. He didn't do any signs and wonders. But now, I must say that we have a double call. You know, we have a double call. We not only ask Jesus, we would not only go out there with a purpose, a double purpose of not only winning them to the Lord, but God wants us to move in the power of God. Because Jesus, who came after John the Baptist, he came with signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, when Jesus came, the sick were healed. The deaf heard. The blind saw. The lame walked. You know, and those who needed to be set free were set free. And so this is the portion, this is the power that is empowered by the Lord to us. So we have a double purpose, not like John the Baptist, only one purpose. We have a double purpose that will not only turn people to the Lord, but under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we will move in the power of God. Every one of us. God can use any one of us. Do you know whether you're a young Christian or an old Christian, if you pray for someone, the Holy Spirit can flow through you and bring healing. Yes, miracles can take place. So sometimes you think, oh no, I don't pray enough. You know, I'm not having my devotion regularly. We think of all these things. But healing that flows out of us, it's not about us. The gifts of God are without repentance. God can use any one of us. So we must recognize that this is the double purpose that God has for us. That we must move in the power of God. Be bold, be courageous. Lay hands on someone who's sick. When a person has a problem, pray with them. And I tell you, God will use every one of us in this room. So we must fulfill the purpose that God has for us. And also we have a double authority. Not only a double purpose, but a double authority. You know why? Because Jesus, when he came and he moved under the power of God, after he moved in the power of God and did all those miracles, he fulfilled God's purpose for him to die on that cross and to bring salvation to every person. And then, then we see in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Then he says, go therefore and make disciples. See, so he says all authority has been given to him because he died on the cross and he claimed the victories of darkness. You know, he claimed the victories of darkness and he overcame impossibilities through the death on the cross. And so now, he says all authority has been given to him because he is the one who went to the cross and he overcame all these things. But now he's telling us, you go, therefore, and make disciples. So what does that mean? that authority that he has gained, now he is delegating that authority to each one of us. So all of us are powerful people because he has delegated the power that he has claimed, that authority that he has had, he has given it to us so that we can move powerfully on this earth. Not just being a John the Baptist, but to be Jesus, the powerful Jesus who brought so many people and brought so much of healing on this land. So we can see that this is what God's purpose is. So we have a double authority, we have a double purpose, and I tell you, he has endowed us with double anointing. The anointing to move, the anointing to go, the anointing to tell someone about Jesus. Even if you tell a person, Jesus loves you, that's already sharing Jesus, telling them what Jesus is like. Okay? So, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. See, not only he anoints us, and not only he gives us that authority and the power. I want to talk about this authority a little bit. Now, when God has given us that authority to lay hands on the sick, so we no longer need to beg Jesus for healing or God for healing. Lord, please heal my friend. Lord, please heal my sister. No. We have the authority in the name of Jesus because we belong to Jesus and we have a relationship with him, an ongoing relationship. So how do we pray? We take authority of that sickness. Because Jesus already won that on the cross. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. See? So when you pray for someone, you don't tell the story and say, oh God, this person is suffering and in pain. And you don't have to say all that. You know why? God has delegated, Jesus has delegated that authority to us. So we take authority of this. I take authority of you, sickness, in Jesus' name. I bind the works of the enemy upon your body, and I claim the healing power of God for you right now in Jesus' name. And I claim by the stripes of Jesus, by what you have done on that cross, by the stripes that you have taken on that cross, Lord, this person is healed. So we positively believe and by faith claim the healing. That's what we are supposed to do. We are people. We are different people. We are not people who need to beg because we are the child of God. We have the power in the name of Jesus. And we need to be authoritative in what we do because he has given us that authority. So boldness and courage comes upon us when we yield to the Lord. See, the more you walk with God, the more you spend time in his presence, you become like him. Jesus was bold. He moved. Yes, of course you say he is God. But when he was on earth, he was fully man and fully God. And so if he has delegated that authority to us, how much more we can be powerful? He says you will do greater things than what he did. That's what is promised to all of us here. Greater things. If you read what Jesus has done in all, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, if you just read through the whole thing, you see the wonderful and powerful things that happen in the life of Jesus. Daily, he used to go from village to village. Okay? So, likewise, I'm telling you, this anointing and this power is given to us. So, church, this morning, I want you to know that God can move through us in the supernatural. And he wants each one of us to move in the supernatural. As timid as you are, as shy as you are maybe, in your own way, one-to-one with someone, you can move in the power of God. Okay? I just want to encourage each one of you to know that the impossibilities are not impossibilities with God. Things which are impossible with us are possible with God. So with that authority that he has given to us, we take authority of the impossible things that people come and tell us. So you don't, when someone come and say something negative or something like, oh, they have no hope and that's impossible, you always need to turn it around and tell them, with Jesus, there's always hope. No matter how hopeless, how impossible it looks, with God, all things are possible. Will you say amen to that? Yes, amen. And God wants us to move in that authority and that power. And we are the hands of God. We are His eyes. We are His, you know, we are His body going around and seeing. When Jesus was on earth, He went around and did all these things. So what is our purpose today? This is what we should be doing. What Jesus did then, we should be doing. And what John the Baptist did at that time, this is what we should be doing. Okay? Now, so I just want to encourage each one of us. Now, every week when we come to church, we hear something. Yeah, sometimes we make commitments. You know, and then because of the busyness of the week and the number of things that we all are busy, some way the enemy is keeping us so busy that we will not do the things that God wants us to do. It is so real that everybody is so busy. But I want you to know that God wants us, every week as we hear and we make a commitment, ask the Lord to remind you through the week the commitment that you have made. Every time, I believe that every time we come to church and we hear a message, and at least one thing in that message will minister to you, if you come with a heart to receive from God. And what you hear from God, you need to put it into practice. We need to go out there and apply it in our lives. Pastor Derek has always been speaking about faith, how we need to arise in faith and believe and claim and everything. So every time he speaks that, sometimes my faith is not so high. But when I hear his message, it just stirs my heart. And when I go through the week, I say, God, I want to arise in faith like that. And so this is what we all need to be doing. The more we come into the presence of God and we hear the word of God, it encourages you. You go out there and just hear the voice, the still small voice of the Lord. Hear it and do what God wants you to do. That's all we are supposed to do. This is our purpose on this earth. Besides what we work as, besides being mother, being father, being uncle, grandfather, whatever other things that we are doing, this is the main purpose of our lives, to live our life for Him. Because He came, He died on the cross, and He saved us so that today we can be His disciples. He had only 12 disciples, but from the 12, we have so many of us. And can you imagine the whole world, how many disciples of God? If every disciple of God, if every believer will arise and begin to be a John the Baptist and be the one like Jesus to take on the authority and the power to move in the power of God, what do you think will happen? Don't you think they will all be saved? The whole world will be saved very soon and Jesus will come. Amen? How many of you want Jesus to come quickly? Yeah, we all want Jesus to come quickly, okay? Now, okay. So therefore, our purpose on this earth is twofold. One is that we will prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And I was saying, in your preparation, it can be any area that God is telling you. Maybe you have not been reading the Bible. And so maybe this is the area you say, God, I'm going to prepare myself by starting to read the Word of God. Or if I've not been praying consistently, then it stirs in your heart. And if you've not been relating to God in that love relationship to worship Him and spending that 1 hour or maybe just half an hour in the presence of God daily, you know, if you've not been doing that. So this is your personal preparation. Nobody knows about it. Nobody knows. We all come, we all look good on a Sunday. But our personal lives, our personal spiritual lives, only God knows. And He's wanting our response. He's wanting us to change in some way or another. Each week, each day, that we will draw near to Him. And each day we will be prepared for the coming of the Lord. That's what we need to do. So the first purpose is that we will prepare ourselves. And as we are being prepared, it's very easy to reach out to others. If we are not preparing ourselves, there's nothing to tell anybody else. See? So if you are drawing near to God in prayer, you will encourage others. Hey, come on, let's pray. This situation is going on. That thing is going. The nation is going through this. Come on, let's pray. Let's stir up one another. So we need to prepare ourselves and prepare others. I said the others, one another principle is so important in these times. I did mention this before as I was preaching, that we not only care for one another physically. Yeah, I know we are very caring when someone is sick in the hospital, maybe we cook and we bring something. Physically, we have been caring for one another. But in this time and season, it's more important to be actually caring for one another spiritually. To find out if you're doing okay spiritually. Find out whether you're hearing the voice of God. Find out whether you're hearing the word of God. Whether you're praying. Whether you're worshiping. Whether you're praying in tongues. And allowing the presence of God and the power of God to touch you. We need to talk to one another and say, Maranatha, Jesus is coming soon. Are you being prepared? Are you daily preparing yourself? So we not only prepare ourselves, but we prepare one another. Really, I tell you, we all need one another. More than ever before. There's some of us, we are sitting here, and during the week, you find it so difficult to worship the Lord. But when you come to church, it's so easy with the worship and the music. Everybody is singing, you can just enter into worship. But on your own, you find it so difficult. And some of you, you only read the Word of God when you come to church. You know, and because you find so hard to take the Word of God. But now we have so many ways. We can hear the word, the phone, you put on the phone and the scripture is speaking to you. You know, you can put it on in the car. God has made a way for us in so many ways to actually connect with Him. We just need to respond and we just need to know what He's doing with us. Amen? And so here, I want to share with you three things that you should do in actually in preparing ourselves for the Lord. Three things that I just want to let you, I want to tell you. And I'm going to read some of these passages because I don't want any one of us to be ignorant of what the Word of God says about His coming. We all need to know so we know how to respond to situations. Okay? Now, first we're going to go to Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. And I'm going to read that to you. Read along, okay, so you see that. But of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but God, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. See, it says that no one knows, only the Father knows when Jesus is coming. So all the more, we need to be prepared all the time. That's my point. All the time, we need to be prepared because none of us know. Even the angels don't know when Jesus is going to appear in the clouds. So because of that, we need to be alert every day and we need to be prepared every day. Okay? And then it says, when in the time of Noah, and then it says, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. See, now, even as at that time they were doing all this, we are also living our own lives in that way. Not really focusing on preparing ourselves for the Lord. And what happened? He said, did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will there be the coming of the Son of Man be. Because it's going to happen suddenly. Okay? The coming of the Lord is going to be sudden. And so whatever we are doing and whatever we are indulging in through this time and not really preparing ourselves spiritually for the coming of the Lord, we are on dangerous ground. Because it can happen anytime, okay? The scripture says, okay, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Okay? Is that the last verse? 44? Okay, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Okay, so this is really a warning from the Lord that we must be alert. We do not know when He's coming. And so because we do not know when He's coming, we should take steps day by day to draw nearer to the Lord and to know what He wants us to do and fulfill His purposes for us on this earth. Each one of us has a specific, even though I said there's a general purpose that each one of us have to be a witness for the Lord and each one of us have to be preparing ourselves and preparing others, but there is a personal purpose for each one of our lives. Only you know that. And if you don't know, you need to be asking the Lord, Lord, what is my real purpose on this earth? Besides being a witness, besides, there is a call on each one of us to do something which others cannot do. Because the body of Christ is just like so many parts. They're all different, you know. So each part has to do their part And then the body of Christ comes as a whole. So if you are not doing your part, if this finger is not doing its part, you know, by moving in the right way, it'll be so hard to do things right. I got four fingers and it's so hard. So it's just like that. The body of Christ need to fulfill, each one need to fulfill your part in the body of Christ. This is what God is actually stirring us to do. So find out what your purpose is and begin to fall into His purpose and fulfill that call that God has placed upon your life. And so the first point is, be ready at all times, because we do not know when. And just like in the time of Noah, they were laughing at him, building an ark, building a boat, there's no water. They were laughing at him. So people may be laughing at us that we are so focused on the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, and we're telling them all kinds of things. But one day, if they don't turn to the Lord, and if Jesus appears in the clouds and we are all raptured, they will be left behind. And then they remember, oh my God, she told me. He told me. I need to be prepared. And it has happened and I'm left behind. See, we don't want anybody to react, to regret, you know. And so in the same way, as I always say, if I'm going to be raptured, I want to see all of you being raptured together with me. I don't want to see anybody left behind. It'll be sad to see people being left behind. So let's stir one another. Let's be prepared. Let's get ready. Day by day, let's stir our hearts. Let's stir one another in this manner. Okay, number two, Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Some of them tell me this scripture, you know, the whole world has to hear the gospel. Only then Jesus will come. You know, my family members have not heard about the gospel yet. You know, so many people are not saved. I don't think Jesus is going to come so soon. Some people, you know, console themselves and say, Jesus is not coming so soon. Because the whole world has to hear the gospel. Here only, you know, not the whole world accept Jesus as their savior. So do you know that today the media is so hebat? Right? Through TikTok, people are sharing the gospel. Through Facebook and through all kinds of media and all kinds of ways, people are hearing the gospel. So do you think that it'll take very long? Because now you see, technology is moving so fast. And I'm sure because the coming of the Lord is near, technology is moving fast so that many more, even in people in the villages, in the jungles, will hear the name of Jesus. So I tell you, today, this is really burning in my heart, that we mustn't take it lightly for the coming of the Lord. We mustn't take it lightly. Our spiritual life, we cannot take it lightly. If you need help spiritually, you can come to any one of us, any one of the believers who will help you to actually connect with the Lord and continue to fulfill the purposes that God has for your life. Okay? Okay, that's my second point. So the gospel must be preached. So if you have an opportunity to go to nations, we are supposed to disciple nations, not just disciple the people in Johor, in JB. See? So when there is an opportunity for you to go, some don't have an opportunity to go. But if you have a desire to go to nations and to disciple nations, you just lay the desire before the Lord. In the first place, the desire comes from God. God places the desire in your heart. And when you desire and you bring it back to God and say, God, I desire, God will open the door for you. And I tell you, if God calls you to do something, He will provide for you. Some of you are sitting there and saying, I don't have the money to go to different nations. No, if God calls you to go to some nation and you don't have the finances, you just tell the Lord, Lord, I am willing. I know You will provide. And I tell you that money, you specifically pray, it will definitely come to you. I still remember my good friend, Sister Susie. You know, we were supposed to go to Bangladesh. You know, she desired to go, but she had so many things in her mind. She said, oh, finances, I don't really have the finances to go because it's quite expensive to go to Bangladesh. And also her physical body wasn't really well on and off and everything. So she thought of all these things. But I just told her, I said, if you have a desire, you lay it before God, God will provide for you. And true enough, she started praying and asking the Lord and telling the Lord, Lord, this is what you have laid on my heart and I desire. And you know what? She received a love gift from an anonymous person, not from me, huh? Not from me. Anonymous person. And you won't believe, this person doesn't know that she's going to Bangladesh and doesn't know how much the ticket costs. The love gift, and she opened up, it was exact number for her to go. Exact amount for the plane ticket. If it is God, if it's not God, then who? Tell me. You know, nobody knew. Only she and I knew that she was going to go to Bangladesh. See, so I tell you that if you have a desire, if you want to go to nations and be a blessing to other nations, just lay it before the Lord. And even while you are here, you know, and God opens doors for you to disciple others and encourage others in spiritual life, just go ahead and tell. Maybe if you need to just do a Bible study with someone next to you, someone close to you, just do it. If a person is finding it difficult to pray, come, I'll come to your house. Let's pray together. Let's worship together. Just do that and stir people up for the coming of the Lord. Okay? Ma, finally, my last point. Number 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, 11 and 14. Okay, let's see what 10 says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So once again, to alert us that it can happen anytime. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Now, at this point, I just want to say that let's hold the things of this world and the things that we do in this world temporarily. Don't hold it too tight. Whatever you have, whatever belongs to you, don't hold it so tight. You know why? Because we are in a temporary place. I'm sure you know what it means. When you are in a temporary place, you're renting a place, you don't want to do up the house, you don't want to paint, you don't want to do anything. Because why temporary? You're going to move out of that place. See? So we're only temporary here on this earth. So let's live lightly when it comes to the things of the world and the things that we do on this earth. But we need to see our eternal home. We need to prepare for that eternal home, that place that you will not go from there anywhere else anymore. And God will always be there with us. See? So we need to take things lightly here on earth. You know, do what you need to do, but don't hold on too tight to anything. That's my what the Lord laid on my heart to tell you. And then verse 11 tells us, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And so it says, since we are just temporary here, how should we live our life? Because we are looking forward to our eternal home, to be with Jesus forever. You know, so how should we live? And there are two words given in the version that I read. It says we need holiness and godliness. To live a life holy and godly. Holiness doesn't mean you have to wear white and walk like that and be so solemn. No, holiness doesn't. I thought like that one. When I first came to know the Lord, I thought holiness is like that. So I used to wear the lightest color and I used to wear slippers to church. And my mother used to be very upset. You're coming to the house of the king. You come with slippers. You dare to go to the Agong like that. And so that's where I learned that I come to the house of God. I'm coming to the house of the King of Kings and I'll dress my best. You see, so here you can see that holiness doesn't mean that. Holiness and godliness is just doing the right thing in the sight of God. And how do you know how to live a godly life? The Word of God is there. When you begin to read the Word of God, your life will be transformed. There will be a renewing of your mind. Even though you are brought up in certain ways and some of these things that you're brought up in are wrong, some traditions that you've been brought up with may be wrong, but I tell you, when you begin to read the Word of God, you will know what it means. What is it that God is pleased with? What is it that God is not pleased with? You will know. You don't need to go and ask, am I right, doing the right thing? No. As you are reading the Word of God and you're spending time with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords every day, His life rubs on. Just now I said, Pastor Boy is becoming like Pastor Rajan. Just like that, when we spend more time with Jesus, your life becomes more like Him. Okay? So this is what, so holiness and godliness, that's all we need to do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, according to the plan of God, will of God. And God will bless you for that. And then verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. So there must always be peace in our hearts. He is the Prince of Peace who lives in us. You know, and so when we have this peace, you find that you will do the things that are right. So you will not make mistakes. Yeah, of course, we are human. We will make mistakes. But God has made a way for us out of those mistakes. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. Not just forgive you of your sin, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What is all unrighteousness? Of course, whatever you confess, he cleanses it. This all unrighteousness, to my understanding, is this. There are things that we do and we don't know it's wrong. Sometimes we really don't know when we're doing something and we don't know it is wrong. And so when you confess your sin, God not only cleanses that sin that you have confessed, he washes all other things away and makes you spotless, white as snow before the Lord. Okay? So I want to encourage you, church. Let's be serious. We are in a time we are serious. We need to be serious in prayer. We need to be serious in walking with God faithfully, daily, consistently. Okay? We need to be doing that. Above all other things that we do, make sure that we make this the priority, because Jesus is coming back. A lot of people say, oh, when I was 8, somebody told me. When I was 12, somebody told me. When I was 70, somebody told me Jesus is coming soon. Until today, I'm going to die, Jesus has not come. It doesn't matter if you've waited how long. We know that the coming of the Lord is sure. Very, very sure. So it doesn't matter whether you're going to pass on before Jesus appears in the clouds. It's still right for us to be ready. Okay, I always say you either get ready for Jesus to call you home or to see Jesus appear. I'm sure we all like to see Jesus appear in the clouds, right? We all like to be raptured. Okay, so this morning, I just want to pray with each one of you that God will stir our hearts. Stir our hearts to be prepared for his coming. And not just prepare ourselves for his coming, but to prepare one another. Let's care and let's love one another and reach out to others who are struggling spiritually. Let's reach out. And then also to reach out to those who do not know the Lord. This is twofold. We take care of the body of Christ, make sure the body of Christ is alive and renewed and revived. And at the same time, the whole body of Christ, we go out there and bring the souls in. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together. And then the worship team will come. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go into a time of communion. And let's make this communion Sunday a very meaningful one. Because you remember that Jesus died on the cross to restore your personal relationship with God himself. And also, we need to continue this relationship. Not once a week when we come to church, but on a daily basis, we remember that we have a relationship with the Father that we can relate. Thank you. Let's sing.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God is so good. God, you're so good.
Yes, declare that. He's so good to all of us.
God,
he's long suffering and waiting for us to come back to him.
God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God is so good. God, you're so good.
Amen.
God is so good.
God, you're so good.
God.
to me.
I am less.
I am called. I am healed.
Yes, you are.
I am more. Your I am saving Jesus' name. Highly favored.
Yes, you are favored of the Lord.
Filled with your power.
Amen. He's filled with your power.
Jesus' name.
I am blessed.
I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power. For the glory of Jesus' name.
Amen. As we come to the Lord's table, we want to thank God for the bread and the cup. We thank you for what? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body that was broken for each one of us. Thank you for your blood that was shed for each one of us, Lord. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for the broken body that brought healing to our emotions, brought healing to our bodies, healing to relationships. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we just ask that you bless these emblems. And as we partake of these emblems, even with that relationship that we have with you, Lord, we want to see miracles take place in our personal lives and in the lives of those around us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, holding the bread in the hand, the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to the Father, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Yes, even as we remember him, we remember that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Amen. Let's partake of the bread together for healing of whatever situation. Let's take together. And then after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to the Father, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take it, drink it as often as you do it in remembrance of me until I come again." Until Jesus comes, we will commune with him. As a family and individually, you'll commune. And God has redeemed us by his blood. All curses are broken over our lives. Yes, we are set free from all those strongholds over our lives. And with victory, let's partake of the cup together. Let's just worship the Lord. And then Pastor Derek will close in prayer.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. I am blessed, I am blessed. Jesus' name, highly favored, anointed, filled with your power, for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Glory of Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, God. And we thank you, Lord Father, even as the word is preached, Lord. Lord, let the word fall on good ground and let it bear fruit in our lives. Jesus, I declare, even as we leave from this place, I declare this week be a fruitful week, a week fully filled with encounters and miracles and signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, help us to fulfill the purpose you have assigned to every single one of us standing in this place, God. We love you, Holy Spirit. We just surrender the rest of the time to your hands in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone say, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, church.